Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The day the Lord has made and he has blessed us, we are living, we draw breath, we have the opportunity to improve, we have the opportunity to do better, to help others, to expand our own sense of well-being and our own sense of self and family. So in other words, we've got all sorts of room to run, and that's the sky above us, right? That's the limit. It is. No, man, it seems so tough. It is a burdensome time. It is. It is, in fact, so burdensome that it's difficult to believe it's all just happenstantial. It's just a coincidence of the times that we had Russia, then we had the Ukraine, then we were told that 3 million people were going to die from something that's turning out to be very, very, very similar to the common cold. Oh, did he say it? Yeah, I did. I sound like Levin. That's right, I said it. Sound like the great. No, it's not my words. I've never made that reference before. I've never been one to say common cold. And then in continuing my reading, in continuing my research, which is now, I spend way too much time reading about the COVID. Probably now about 30 hours a week reading about the COVID, listening to researchers talk about the COVID, listening to actual doctors. One of the most respected physicians in Switzerland, a gentleman named Beda M. Stadler, former director of the Institute for Immunology at the University of Bern, he has sat on committees with Dr. Lockdown, Dr. Mask On, Mask Off, Tony Fauci. Cameras are on, his mask is on. He thinks the cameras are off. Off comes the mask. Same thing with Caitlin Collins from NBC. Same things with the Senate committee on the COVID. Did you see that? They thought the cameras were off, and they whip the masks off their face and get inches from each other's face. Then they chit-chat with one another. Right? Oh, but all the masks are saving lives. No one believes this. Well, that's not true. I'll take that back. A good portion of America believes this, that a piece of cloth that the physics say, the virus is too small to be stopped by the holes in the mask, too small by a long shot. They believe this, etc. So you watch all this and you watch Fauci and you watch this. And then I read this researcher in Switzerland says this is very much like the common cold. He says our bodies have an enormous amount of immunity to this, that most people have proven to be immune to the COVID. So it's very difficult to view this for me as all happenstantial. Very, very hard. Which is why at 7:30, we're going to go back to the lesson that we've been doing this week with the former KGB operative, Yuri Bezmenov. He talks about the second, third, and fourth phases of ideological demoralization. It's going to chill you when you hear this. The first phase takes 15 years to ideologically demoralize people. It's to teach people their country is wrong. It's to get people to a point where they can't defend their country. Ideological demoralization. 15 years, multiple generations unable to defend America, unable to defend our founding, unable to defend George Washington, unable to say things like, yes, Washington held slaves, and in terms of slaveholders at the time, he was considered a very kind slave owner. And that's a contradiction in terms, and I understand that in our view in 2020. Morally, it always was. But they had a different view of morality at that time. Same in many different ways, such as look what dancing was considered at the time, or look what it was to be prudent at the time. Far different views of things that we have now. Some of their views were better than our views. Some of them, in regards to slavery, were worse. And they were products of their time. People have been left unable to do that. Folks, wait until you hear the second, third, and fourth phases of how the KGB overthrows countries from within. Wait until you hear this. Oh, I know. Oh, it's conspiracy stuff. Oh, Red's under beds. I'll let you decide. I'll play it for you. You make the decision of what you think about it. We've been keeping up our J-free zone. So I apologize that Jay Inslee's voice is about to appear in this Seattle Spirit. So here's my suggestion. Deep inhale, and then do not breathe in. Do not allow this in your nostrils. Ready? Because you know what the Seattle Spirit can smell like. We'll inhale together, then I'll hit the sounder. Ready? Don't inhale. Do not smell.
We're all leaders on this, and I'm glad to see you wearing masks today. And I only took mine off because of the First Amendment. And thank you for being here. Please, wash your hands.
That even breathing and talking loud projects things further. And so we do think the very wide use of face coverings and masks is extremely important.
Okay, you can exhale. Note for you, put on a bandana or a scarf or one of the silly surgical masks. Put one on and open a can of tuna fish. And just tell me how long it takes for you to smell the tuna fish. And then you go ahead and explain to me how, since the physics don't work, how those masks block the virus. To that point, I am unable to fully express to you what I think of Washington State's providers of news programming. I'm literally unable. The president tweeted, "In Germany, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and many other countries, schools are opening with no problems. The Dems think it would be bad for them politically if U.S. schools open before the November election. But it's important for the children and families. May cut off funding if not open." Please do, Mr. President. These are inescapable facts that the news media in this state utterly, utterly refuses to report. This is a decision. There's not a human being in the news business who is not aware that kids are not at risk of this virus unless they've chosen to be not aware. If they've made the decision to remain ignorant of the facts, then they can be ignorant of the facts. But it's very difficult. If you dig below the surface of this, of the data in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form, it is evident that kids are not at risk. We have shared with you the hard numbers. We've shared with you interviews. I can encapsulate them both with this statement, a statistical fact. Children are at more risk from the flu that's coming this November, than they are from the COVID. Children are at more risk from being struck by lightning than from the COVID. There are zero cases, not a single case in all the epidemiology, in all the contact tracing, in all the investigation. There is not a single case, not one, of a child passing the COVID onto the parents or the grandparents. Not one time. The president's right. Germany, Denmark, Norway, Sweden have reopened the schools. There is one case, one of a teacher contracting the COVID. The teacher's fine. Most people who get the COVID are fine. About 3 weeks ago, and I'll go do the math again or have someone do the math for me. The death rate in Washington State, 0.00016. Across the country, the CDC released numbers that showed the death rate to be about 0.26. If you are below the age of 50, 0.005. One case of a teacher getting the COVID, they think. One case. The schools are not open. Why? There is legitimately zero reason for the schools to be shut. Zero scientific reason. Zero. Unless you want to reorder society. The plan to reopen the schools contains some interesting small print that my listeners were sharing with me yesterday. Yeah, there's groups of students who are allowed back in earlier than others, starting with non-English speakers, and then students experiencing homelessness, and then students with traditionally marginalized groups, etc., doing this from memory, and then other groups. They're placing priority on groups. They're showing a reordering of society. They are showing we are going to give preference to these other groups. They are transmitting this to us. The government schools have no business showing any preference to any group. And yet they do. They do this in multiple ways. There's going to be a reordering of society when the schools open. There's going to be anti-racism training, which means you're a racist if you're white. You are. You are, and there's nothing you can do about it. You will always be a racist. It's in your DNA. Now, how that helps black lives, I don't know. No clue. Como News wrote an entire piece on their website. It's Sinclair Broadcasting Group. So this is their parent company. Como News has on their website an entire piece. Face mask mandates spark resistance, questions about enforcement. This is an entire piece that they put up on their homepage and promoted. They talk about 100 protesters in Boise, Idaho, quite literally when approximately 100 protesters gathered over the weekend to set fire to surgical masks to show opposition to a new city mandate. So they talk about that. They talk about the protests to the masks. Then they get to this. Listen to this. Listen to this utter nonsense. Nonsense. And I'll prove it's nonsense to you. U.S. coronavirus infections have surged to their highest levels since the start of the pandemic, prompting 20 states and dozens of local governments to require residents to wear a face covering when they're out in public. An abundance of research cited by the Centers for Disease Control has shown that wearing a mask reduces the risk of viral transmissions, can be twice as effective as limiting the spread of COVID-19, yet a vocal minority is questioning whether the government can and should mandate their use. Okay? Nonsense. I'll tell you why. Listen to the headline from the CDC. Widespread face mask could shrink the R number and prevent a second COVID wave. And they cite a study. What's the study? It's modeling, the same modeling that said 300 million or 3 million people would die, modeling, and yet you don't need to rely on modeling. The CDC studied 10 separate clinic, randomized clinical trials, some of them of people in public, some of them in people in hospitals. It encompassed 47 years. 10 separate studies, meaning it has a massive evidentiary base of participants. It's not a model. It's actual clinical studies, 10 of them in a meta-analysis. Masks do not stop the transmission of viruses, not in hospitals, not outside hospitals. That is actual studied data the CDC produced. This paragraph is propagandistic gibberish. A model hastily thrown together in this time, a model thrown together in the past few months versus 47 years of randomized clinical trials. They just refuse to give you the full information. They refuse. Here's how this is half of the information. Go out and bake cake. Okay, do this. Here's the recipe. You have your flour. You have your baking soda. You have your eggs. You have your sugar. You've got your chocolate. You've got these things. What am I forgetting? Baking soda, whatever, baking starch, whatever. You get that all. You mix it together in a pan. Okay, you mix that all together in a certain order, get it good and fluffy. You then line a pan with grease, a cake pan with grease or something that's going to make it slick, olive oil or Crisco from back in the day. Remember that? You line the pan. There's your cake. It's delicious cake. Oh, wait. Oh, you have to bake it. This is legitimately what is passing for news in this article. You could do what I do. You could show the physics of the mask. I can show you a document that indicates the size of a human hair, the size of a bacteria, and the size of a virus. Somewhere around 100 or more virus particles will fit through the hole in cloth masks. Then they get down to this in this article. COVID-19 cases by county. They don't include deaths. They don't include the dropping death rates. And then this headline, mixed messages help fuel mask resistance. While resistance to mask use has shown up visibly in protests, it's not as widespread as it may seem. The University of Southern California Don's Fire Center has been tracking Americans' behaviors during the coronavirus, found that 86% reported wearing a mask, a number that has climbed substantially since March. Nonsense. Nonsense. Look around you and tell me 86% of people have been wearing masks. Maybe since Jay Inslee said, it puts the mask on its skin or if it wants to eat again. When the media has made the decision to be the stenographer of the government, because I'm sorry, this news piece, there's no news in it. News is who, what, where, when, why with a skeptical take. Skepticism. I have debunked that news story. Completely debunked it. In 3 minutes. I wonder how long it took him to write it. In 3 minutes, I've debunked it entirely. It's dead. This should not be happening. I'm a clown, a rodeo clown with a radio show, and my coverage and analysis of this is better than 100% of Washington State news media. How can that be? I don't want this to be the case. I'm not qualified for this. And yet, I can read the studies, I can talk to the experts, I can read the physics. I'm certainly a smart enough person to say 47 years of studies of 10 separate randomized clinical trials is better than modeling, which is proven to be unbelievably faulty. But this is what happens when the media surrenders itself. This is what happens when it decides that it will not allow the public to have reason to doubt the government. And I think this is what's going on. I legitimately think that the newsrooms in Washington state are panicked that you're going to rebel against the government in this important time, that you might start making your own decisions in this important time. I legitimately think they have all made decisions to back the government in this at all costs. I legitimately think that. And this extends to selective coverage about Black Lives Matter. It does. No one, and I've looked, I have searched. The media in Washington state will not ascribe an ideology to Black Lives Matter Incorporated. They will not tell you that on the board of directors of the organization that controls their fundraising sits a terrorist. They won't tell you that. They've got a group called Thousand Currents, which handles the $300-400 million Black Lives Matter Incorporated has pulled down. And on the board of directors is a convicted terrorist, Susan Rosenberg. She's on the board of directors handling the money for an organization who says we're trained Marxists. That's what one of the founders said. Another founder said, look, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to burn the system down. I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. That's open to interpretation. Don't black people, don't our neighbors who happen to be black and our friends who happen to be black, don't they deserve to know that that organization has a terrorist on the board? Don't they deserve to know that they're hardcore Marxists? Don't they deserve to know that members of this group are harassing other black people going to church? They stood outside a church. The church is majority black. 8 out of 10 people walking into this church are black people. And about half the Black Lives Matter protesters are white. Harassing black people trying to enter a church to worship God.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
This is outside of a majority black church.
No peace!
No justice!
No justice!
You should be ashamed of yourself, sister! Taking your
justice!
And millions of black kids!
Why would you pay attention? Are you crazy?
Gun violence!
Half these protesters are white. Yelling at black kids.
Misguided.
It's incredible. Shouldn't black people be made aware of this? Why is that just the realm of this show? News providers who are doing this, news programmers, man, I hope you look inside. I hope that you look into yourselves. I legitimately think, I really honestly do think you're better than this. I really, really do. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Remember phase one of ideological demoralization? You get a country to the point where it can't defend its own ideology, its own founding. You won't believe what's in phases two, three, and four. This will chill you. It really will. That's next. A bit of a tweet to you before we get into this segment, and I'll explain it here. This comes from Emily Vanderwerf. She is at Vox.com, a very, very liberal site, founded with a whole bunch of money from liberal political donors, and run by the guy who started the journalist. Do you remember this? This was you talk about coordination in media and coordinating coverage. This was a list of so-called news writers, journalists, objective, don't you know? They decided to have a backroom meeting in a chat group to decide how, while writing for competing, quote, news organizations, they would coordinate their coverage to take down Sarah Palin. That was literally the goal of the group. How do we stop Sarah Palin? Ezra Klein ran that group, and then he runs Vox.com. Listen to this, and it leads straight into what we're going to talk about. I want to state again that I want my colleague to keep his job. I like him personally and appreciate his perspective, even when I disagree. My perspective is that he is not shielded from the free speech he champions. And then she calls a writer named Jesse Single a name I can't say on the radio. So what did Matt Iglesias do? By the way, I can't stand Matt Iglesias' work. And I have every reason to believe that he and I have nothing to talk about. I think his work is fraudulent. I've watched him when he was pretending to describe Iraq to people, like he was an Iraq expert during the Iraq war. My friend Josh caught him with two Wikipedia pages open and an Encyclopedia Britannica. He was quoting them. He was reading from them, pretending to the Vox audience that he, Matt, had all this knowledge. Iglesias has been reported to his employer by a colleague for signing an open letter which argues that a climate of conformity, fear, and mutual surveillance has descended upon public intellectual life. It has. Our friend, Professor Jacobson from Legal Insurrection, may lose his teaching gig. We've seen academics fired because their mathematical research shows that black people are not at more risk from cops. They've been fired because of the math. We've seen intellectuals withdraw their own, disown their own work because their work, their data analysis, their science, scientific process showed black people were not at more risk from cops. They have retracted their work. They have disowned their work because they don't want to be canceled. Iglesias's colleague at Vox.com, apparently, according to Jesse Single, who's a very brave writer, by the way, very brave writer. Emily Vanderwolf apparently turned in her colleague for signing a open letter saying that there's a climate of conformity, fear, and mutual surveillance is descended upon public intellectual life. There was a professor fired for saying in an email, everyone's life matters, in an email to colleagues. That's the state of things right now. That's the state of things. How do we get here? Monday, we started to share something with you on the show. It's the words of a former KGB agent, and they are chilling. It's the words of Yuri Bezmenov. The first phase, as we shared with you, Yuri Bezmenov talked about a 15-year process by which you remove the ability of people in one country to defend their country's roots. He mentioned in that clip that critical theory, critical race theory, super helpful in this. Critical race theory is America has been racist from day one. America can't stop being racist. America is imperialist. America is the home of all evil. It's the cause of all evil. Everywhere in the world, America is the cause of all evil. It is irreparably flawed. It cannot be fixed. The founders were all disgusting human beings, no redeeming qualities. All of them were bloodthirsty beasts, etc. That critical theory is very helpful to this, that you take 15 years. He said it's a 15-year process. You need about three generations to get them into places of power. So right now, he was referring to, and he said this in the 80s. Right now, we have people in positions of power who are saying we need to destroy the American system. Ilhan Omar has said we need to topple the American system. Pramila PayPal, Jayapal, has said basically the same thing. Shama Sawant said to Jeff Bezos, Hey, you know what? She is basically threatening to bring the mob to his house. She has said, we are going to tear down the American system. She has said these things. These people are in positions of power. Eric Holder was in a position of power. He's an adherent to these ideas. Keith Ellison, the so-called Attorney General of Minnesota, is in a position of power. He's an adherent to these ideas. They are in positions of power. 15 years. The demoralization part is people can no longer defend. And what he said that's so chilling in phase one is, you'll notice this. No matter of facts, think of masks. Think of your conversations with people about masks. So you say to them, if you're wearing a mask, then you're safe from me, right? That's not the point. It only works if everybody wears it. Okay. So in hospital settings, why doesn't everybody wear them? That's a different setting. All right. Can I show you a picture of the physics? Let me show you how big the hole in these masks are and how small the virus particles are. It stops the droplets, right? But the droplets, they're water. The virus is also released without water. Well, let me show you another thing. Let me show you this 47-year study from the CDC where they determined that masks don't work. You know what? You know what? If it saves just one life, if it saves just one life. You know these conversations? They literally, legitimately, at this point, they're so ideologically demoralized, they can't separate truth from fiction. They can't. Hey, listen. What's a trans woman? That's a woman. Well, no, that's a man who wants to present themselves as a woman. That's a woman! Is America, does America like have a spending problem or a taxing problem? Tax the rich. This is what we're dealing with. Okay. So in phase one, he talks about getting America to these phases. Here's phase two, three, and four. Yuri Bezmenov.
The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, It's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast.
Okay, so again, he's speaking in the 80s. He was a defector from the Soviet Union. He had worked with the KGB. He went to India. He said, India. He said, man, I love these people. I don't want to do this. He ended up going to Canada. He's speaking here in this older video from Canada. Did you hear that? Did you hear about destabilization? Did you hear about how quickly he observed it going then? So you say, wait a minute, how can anybody think it makes sense to give illegal immigrants taxpayer-supported college and so-called free health care? How can anyone think this makes sense? How can anyone think it makes sense to have mail-in voting? That we have proof that there are postal employees who took bribes to throw away mail. We have proof that there was 400 changes that a woman is in jail for changing or for pre-marking ballots as Democrat ballots. 400 of them. No, vote fraud doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. What about Dina Rossi and Chris Gregoire? Nope, didn't happen. How can anyone think it makes sense for the United States to continue to give countries who hate us money? Got to do it. How does it make any sense to give all this money, this billions of dollars to Iran at secret at night in pallets of cash when they're not going to stop building nukes? They're going to use that money. They did use that money to kill Americans. Nope, got to do it. Chilling, right? Wait a minute. Turn your radio up. If you're listening to the podcast later, turn up the ear pods. Listen to this. Yuri Bezmenov, Former KGB agent talks about phases 3 and 4. You ready for this?
The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis.
School. Masks. Students 6 feet apart. So-called anti-racism training. World Health Organization pushed sex ed that tells kids they're sexual beings who should lie to their parents if they want to have orgies. They should go to Planned Parenthood, get condoms, because Planned Parenthood cares more about them than their parents. Normalization. Crisis. The virus is real. It gets people sick, just like the flu or the common cold. The response to it is unreal, unlike anything that's ever been done in history, ever. And it continues, despite the fact that the CDC is about to remove epidemic status from it. So, words of a KGB agent who was paid to destabilize countries. It's a good thing that America is immune from this. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. About 6 years ago, I started telling you we don't have magic powers of immunity, things like this. We'll come back with just a few more things on the Todd Herman Show. And I am so glad to have Kayleigh McEnany in the White House as press secretary. She is the star of today's version.
Just a few more things.
This quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and numbered fashion. Let's get
thing going. One.
Here she is talking to Jimmy Acosta. This is some of the best of Kayleigh McEnany. Love this.
Bringing people to a rally where they won't be abiding by those guidelines, adhering to those guidelines.
Personal choice of individuals as to what to do, but if we want to talk about internal coherence, I believe that the media needs to work on internal coherence. This
internal coherence. The Harvard graduate, you can see Jimmy Acosta trying to look that up real quick in his on his iPhone, internal coherence. Yeah, it means this, Jimmy. You guys have been promoting the riots and the peaceful protests as virus-free. Your colleagues have been lecturing the White House about mask use. And then when they think the cameras are off, they've been taking off their own masks. It's internal coherence. In other words, it's not believing two things at once or expecting us to believe you do. It's like cognitive dissonance, internal coherence. Does anyone else not just love this press secretary?
Thing two.
Oh, then, the Cuomo, the one that's on CNN, Chris, Donnie Lemon, and they were defending the riots. And the White House press secretary?
Well, I'd point him to the First Amendment, where it says that you have the right to, quote, peaceably assemble. He should go back and read the Constitution. There are many others out there, like Don Lemon, saying that rioting is a mechanism to restructure our country.
It has been so long coming to have this in the White House press secretary. Tony Snow, God rest him, Tony was really good this way. Very, very good. But this woman, Kayleigh McEnany, has a way about her. Just stating this, it's like, look, I'll cut you apart, but it'll be really painless. It'll be like a scalpel. You won't feel it. You won't know your head's gone. It'll just be gone. That's the way to do it if you're going to cut someone's head off, figuratively speaking, entirely figuratively. Next up, and just a few more
things. Three.
Right, the liberal media. And listen, she cites newsbusters. We use a lot of newsbuster stuff, and I don't give them enough credit. This is important. She is citing to the American people a website they can go to see the press despun. newsbusters. It's important that you promote allies.
And for 3 years, 2 years, probably more than that, CNN ran with the collusion narrative. And if the American people are watching right now, you're probably very confused as to some of the quotes I read, because those individuals were saying much different things publicly than they were saying privately. And I'm
yeah, she's talking about the COVID, because the media had said for 3 months, it's all good. Don't worry about it. This isn't a big deal. You should be more concerned about the flu. And guess what? That was accurate. But then all of a sudden, and the Wuhan, et cetera, ad nauseum. So important that we have a press secretary willing to do this. Next up in just a few more
Thing
minutes.
Four.
Oh, speaking of that, in the media, all of a sudden changing their tune on the dangers of the COVID.
I guess I would turn the question back on the media. Does Vox want to take back that they proclaim that the coronavirus would not be a deadly pandemic? Does the Washington Post want to take back that they told Americans to get a grip? The flu is bigger than the coronavirus.
Turns out that was right. But, of course, they changed the tune and they took this and they said, hey, we got an orange man bad tool here. That's what they did. Last up and just a few more things. We talked about Kayleigh McEnany taking on Jimmy Acosta in the first part of just a few more things.
Thing five.
Why don't we have ourselves a good minute of resolve with a circular
end? Like I was just walking in watching CNN as they lauded the quote, rallies in the streets.
Are you saying that the president...
Gotta let me finish, Jim. This isn't a cable news segment. I'm answering your question right now from the White House podium.
It's good to see someone who knows how to fight the liberal media. And understand, when you are a Republican in front of the liberal media, you're dealing with opponents, not members of the press. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.